This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. All right, Project, welcome back to this episode of the Thursday show where we talk about single health and fitness topics. Today, we're excited. We're going to talk about improving the big three lifts, big four, I guess, but this has been the focus of the Project Strong program. But we actually want to talk about ways that you can do it without actually doing those lifts, which, you know, interesting story before we get into the whole thing. But when I did my CrossFit Level 1 in 2011, they said the only way to get better at deadlifts is to do deadlifts. And they said if you do accessory exercises like hamstrings, like calf raises, like hip extensions, like rack pulls, they're a waste of time. Couldn't have been further from the truth. And the problem is I drank the Kool-Aid at the time, and so I believe that the only way to get stronger at doing deadlifts is doing deadlifts, which, you know, does make sense, but it also makes sense to be able to do all these other things which support deadlifts. But that was how they were teaching the methodology at the time. I think they've walked back what they've said since, but you definitely need different methods, especially the more advanced you get in lifting to improve those lifts. Beginners, you don't need this stuff, but as you get more advanced, here are ways that you can get strong without doing the lifts themselves. Okay, before we jump into the show, of course, every single morning I open my cupboard and I start the day with True Protein. I end the day with ZMA, which, as I'm finding out now, is becoming one of the most important ingredients in fighting coronavirus. Zinc is actually an essential piece in immunity. So making sure your zinc levels are nice and high.
Yeah, I think, didn't True get a vaccine out there? This is, got 10 million units of the True Protein vaccine.
Yeah, it's just trueprotein.com.au and it's the ZMA.
/vaccine.
And that'll sort you out. But no, guys, in January and February, so every order over $120 goes into the running to win a year's supply of product, plus a consultation with a PT and a dietitian. So if you guys want to find out more about that details, you've got trueprotein.com.au/pages/true-reset-prize. But I'm sure if you just go to the website, you'll be able to find it there.
Yeah.
If you just start purchasing things. So our code always is MindMuscle10, MindMuscle10, one word, and that's going to get you 10% off. Get the ZMA. That's a critical part in immunity and just good for sleep, good for metabolism, great for everything. And pineapple.
That's the best flavor.
Yeah. Pineapple or lemon burst if you like something a bit more sour.
I think pineapple for me is the official best flavor.
Okay. That's rough. And of course, the best kit on the market as well, and the kit that we'll be rocking.
These are my favorite shorts now.
You got the Type 2 limited edition with the laser cut logo.
Also, no one can get it.
No, you can, but they're just doing a limited run on it.
It's mad. Like the one with the holes where you see skin through the RecGen logo.
Yeah, laser cut logo.
That's what it's called?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that is what I'm wearing. These are the best ones. Still. My favorite is the Type 1 just because it's got the inner liner and I find it super convenient.
Nah, not if you got fat thighs. They don't work.
That's true. But they're making an amazing product. And yeah, they will be our unofficial, maybe official apparel partner with Locker Room and Creature. So we print all our logos, all our branding on their gear when it comes to training gear. And our members absolutely love it as well. So of course, if you guys want to check out the stuff on the RecGen website, they don't do anything for wholesalers at the moment, but it's worth getting your hands on some of their kit anyway.
Should just test it out first. Definitely.
Of course. Go to recgen.com and the code is MMP for 15% off as well. Remember that they ship worldwide, so you can order in any country.
Yeah.
Their RecGen stuff. And then finally, guys, of course, link in the description for this one. Hyperice products. Obviously, we've got the Hypervolt, which is the Hypervolt Plus. So that is their strongest, 30% stronger than the Hypervolt. So the Hypervolt Plus is their most advanced massage therapy gun. And then you've got the Hypervolt Go, which is their new edition, which is a kind of light. It's got less settings. It weighs less, but it's less powerful, but it's obviously more convenient. It's a little bit more affordable as well. So you've got three choices for percussion massage guns. I'll tell you what, the best thing you can do is keep it at your desk at work. And between long sitting sessions, when you're getting up, your back's really stiff, maybe your legs, your quads, your glutes have kind of locked up from sitting because you've done a workout in the morning. It's just running that gun for 5 minutes through your lower back, through the tissues in your glutes and your hamstrings, really helps to loosen up. And I think it reduces overall back pain just that you would get throughout the day. So a great tool to just kind of really easily access what, you know, you would spend a bunch of money on getting massage.
It is so much more effective.
I was digging into my calves the other day.
And also because you're not just lying dead on a bed.
Yeah.
You know, you can like actively move the joint as you massage. There's a lot more options.
Yeah. And I was definitely digging into some calves. I was getting some right Achilles issues with all the running I've been doing. And I just dug into this one spot in my calf and no Achilles issues at the moment. So really good stuff. You guys can head to the link in the description of this episode, or you just go to hyperice.com.au or hyperice.com. MMP is our code for 15% off. Okay, so let's start with what I think is probably just a general comment about getting stronger at the three lifts, which is GPP, general physical preparedness. So we had a discussion as I've grown up through my life and just how, you know, my parents put me into sports. I never did one sport 100%. I did every sport at 50%. And what that meant is that just at a club level, at a school level, I played basketball, tennis, baseball, running, athletics, swimming, all these different things. And I think what it did, it gave me a base of GPP. Mm. What it meant that, because obviously you played rugby almost unanimously through the whole thing, your body shaped differently than if you had to learn to swim and you had to learn to serve a tennis ball and you had to learn to jump. You know, it's all different kind of skills. Obviously, there is some stuff involved in all sports, but and rugby is a pretty well-rounded sport, I would say. But yeah, obviously, if you just did tennis as a kid as hard as you possibly could, you would have a very different body to someone like me who did a little bit of everything. Now, I think GPP in general is just a really good rule, and this is what all strength coaches say, is play as many sports as possible. Because what GPP, I think, gives you more than just, obviously, coordination, balance, a better balanced body, is just less injuries. I think injuries is ultimately what holds back a lot of people from fulfilling their potential.
Yeah, it's just well-rounded, right? I think it's demanded, because if you're focusing on the three lifts, that is not well-rounded fit, health, and fitness, right?
No.
Obviously.
Yeah.
You're doing three lifts, you know, it's really short time domain, I guess, on all the lifts when you're doing exercises, and it's the same repetitions and the same movement patterns every time. So GPP does work because it just makes you so much more well-rounded. And that flows on in lots of different ways.
Yeah.
So like one way they would talk about a lot with someone like Westside, they get into a lot of sled dragging. It's like, wow, like, you know, you don't need cardio to do your 1 rep max. You don't. But if you have better cardio, then you need less rest between sets.
Yeah.
Or you don't get tired on the 7th rep of 10 reps. And it was like the fact that you had to take 30 seconds to breathe before getting your last rep to stop the set. So it actually really does improve your lifting if you have that well-rounded. Then obviously it's injuries because you're strengthening up, you know, different range of motions, different joints. And I think recovery between sessions, you know, because if that's all you do, you just want to like stimulate blood flow throughout the body. So the actual like training of GPP gives you benefits as well as the long-term adaptations as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, one of the points you brought up then was, you know, at Westside, they're trying to improve, or they adopted the method of improving their GPP, their fitness, in order to help their lifts. And it's really just to support your recovery and your training in general. If you just have more, you know, sorry, we should mention the three lifts, bench, squat, deadlift, fourth lift would be overhead press with the barbell. But having better GPP, I think, also allows recovery to be better, because I'll give you an example recently. One client of ours at the gym, he's running a 50-kilometer endurance event at altitude. And he took a break from the gym just because he had a shoulder injury, which meant that he wasn't doing any deadlifts, wasn't doing any squats. And the biggest run he'd done in his program, which is coming up, so the biggest one run previously was 21 Ks, so was like half marathon?
Yeah.
Pretty much, like close to a half
hour
marathon.
Hour and a half to 2 hours.
Yeah, so he'd done that run at a pretty aggressive pace, and he hadn't been lifting any weights. And he said the walk home after he finished that run, his right hamstring was so destroyed, he thought he was going to have to go see a specialist. And it probably took 5-6 days for it to loosen up, but his legs were cooked afterwards. Couldn't do any running. Mm. Basically lost days on his program, because his legs were just so destroyed from the run. Now he's incorporated some more GPP, so some knees over toes stuff that we've been giving him, some hip work, some prep work, just a variety of different exercises, not just deadlifts, not just squats. So, you know, all kinds of awkward lunging, curtsy lunges, you know, calf raises, tib raises, all this stuff. He did the 21K again, because I guess the program's kind of repeating itself on 4-week cycles. And he's like, mate, I did it yesterday and I'm in here training again today. My legs feel amazing. So it's like from a recovery perspective, having that well-rounded strength training as well allows you to come back and do more of your training the next day. So that is also a great reason to make sure that you're working on GPP. And I'll use Connor's example. He's sitting in the producer's chair, but he's been injured so many times, and really the only stuff he's been doing is spinal powerlifting. Mm. And he started to realize, oh, wow, I feel like I haven't gone out into a field and sprinted after a ball in years. And like these are skills that, you know, obviously with powerlifting, it strokes your ego, right? You're putting the maximum amount of weight on a bar. You're lifting some really heavy shit. It's popular on Instagram. You get a lot of likes, you know. A lot of people watch your videos.
Not if you run around a park chasing a ball.
Exactly. That's not a good Instagram video. But, you know, having that GPP is much better because it prepares you to get after what you really want to do, which is like explore life and get out in nature and fucking use your body for what it's meant for.
And you just have to use your common sense. So if you're, you know, super out of shape and you're doing the three lists for ages and your just general fitness sucks, you're going to get tons out of this. If you've been doing like hardcore army training for 10 years and you have ultimate GPP, it's going to do nothing for the three yeah. lists if you add some in, right? Yeah. So just where you're coming from will be critical here.
Army training. Okay, so next thing that we want to go over, and this is something I guess, if you know about the Westside Method, they made this really popular, but this is bands and chains. So this is accommodating resistance, I believe is like maybe the technical term for yeah. it. But essentially what you're doing with bands and chains is a similar sort of effect. They're both slightly different, but the general idea is that through, if you look at, say, let's use a squat as an example, right? So when you go from the bottom of the squat to the top, if you're just taking basically the concentric part of the movement, from the bottom all the way up to the top, if the top is 100% and then the bottom is zero, somewhere along that zero to 100, it's much more difficult. So from like 80 to 100 at the top of the squat, it's really easy. That's why people can quarter squat 6 times body weight. But at zero, from zero to 10, coming out of that dead stop position at the bottom, when you're like, you know, hamstring to calf deep, that first 10 is really difficult. And then even from like 30 to 50, where you're kind of at that sticking point, it's the most difficult part of the lift. So really, if you talk about it, you're only working hard in like 20% of the whole lift.
Yeah, because the weight is always the same, but your strength curve is super different.
Exactly.
Right? And obviously, you could do more at the top than you could do at the bottom.
Exactly. And so I guess what bands and chains are designed to do is to overload your strong positions. So if you look at the parts of the lift where you're really strong, it's trying to make that harder for you so that it's hard through the whole lift. So essentially, if it takes, I don't know, 100 effort points to do a normal lift, and really the only way to get that up is to add more weight, but you kind of get stuck at the sticking point. If you add a bands, if you add a chain, it's a great way to keep the weight the same, but to make the effort points 200, double the amount of effort that it takes per lift. So it does change the strength curve, which is basically just a fancy way of saying the points at which it's difficult in the lift. So it's hard the whole way. Basically, as soon as you're coming out of the hole, it's hard the whole time. Hit the sticking point and you're still going through the sticking point all the way through. But when you take the bands off, when you take the chains off, it makes you a much stronger lifter.
Yeah, and I would say overall, you know, different times can be useful. Obviously, it's useful if you've been doing this the same list for ages and you're just looking for something to like, you know, bust out of just plateaued progress. Yep. I think it's really good. Probably on like your first day of doing the big three lifts, you probably wouldn't use bands and chains.
No.
I've also seen it be pretty useful with like if you have an injury and maybe you don't want to lift like as heavy as possible, right? But you still want to work hard. Because it's harder all throughout the rep, you can like go quite a lot lighter with the weight, even when you count on the weight of the band and still get like a really good session out of it because you're just working harder throughout the whole lift.
Yeah.
So you tend to get sore from it as well.
Yeah. And what I think happens as well from a muscular level or CNS level is that your brain usually in, say, the lockout of the bench press, right, recruits, say, 100 out of 1,000 fibers to lock out. What adding this accommodating resistance is because it's pulling down, especially with bands, it's pulling down harder against the bar. It's actually pulling the bar back down. Your body has to recruit more and more fibers to where it normally would go, okay, we're coasting here, we're at 100, we're in the lockout phase, let's lock in at this amount of force.
You can feel
and we'll
that.
Get it up.
You feel it. It's so different.
When you get to that point, you're like, oh shit, I need to ramp it up because this is different now. Your body starts recruiting more and more motor units to get that bar into lockout. And the difference there is that now once you take the bands off, if you do enough of a cycle with the bands, is now your baseline's a lot higher. So your lockout's a lot more aggressive, it's a lot more stronger. And that's what we added in our very first program, which was Bench Booster. I added that band work in, and that's why so many people PB'd 10, 15, 20 kilos. I reckon a lot of it was down to the band cycle because so many people have never done bands before.
Probably the easiest one to try it out on is deadlifts. It's really easy. You can just chuck them. You can even chuck them around your feet and then around the bar. You can just obviously do the ends of the bar with a dumbbell. Bench is pretty easy. You can wrap it around the bottom of the bench.
Yep.
Or it could go straight from the sides down to a dumbbell. Squat is probably the hardest. It generally just goes straight from the outsides of the bar and then a band is like around a dumbbell.
Yeah, don't
bottom.
Do the squat underneath your feet.
Yeah.
You can't.
I would say
out.
Even with a squat that goes down to the dumbbell, it is the hardest. Like technically, I would probably be the most wary of doing
squatting.
Chains
is easier.
Yeah, chains a lot easier. Also, I think squats, because it's like accelerating you down to the bottom and the bottom the weight's not like a deadlift where it just sits on the floor. Like, you've got to maintain the weight. I would be more careful and ease into the banded squats slower.
Yeah, I'd say that same logic applies with the bench press as well. Yeah, just don't get pinned with a band pulling you down at the bottom. So, yeah, start with light bands, start with light chains, and then work your way up in that. Okay, so next one that you can add
in. One thing I hate as well.
Okay.
Chains do nothing if the chain doesn't hit the floor. Have you said, no, you say this all the time. People put chains on and the chain doesn't hit the floor or like just touches the floor. I'm like, well, it does nothing at that point. It just swings. It's just weight.
Yeah.
Could be a bag of milk at that point.
Yeah.
It only works if the chain hits the floor and then it's lighter at the bottom.
I don't know. They sold milk in bags.
Bags.
Bottles of milk. Bag of sand.
A bag with milk in it.
Bags of milk. The chain, like if you look at the squat when you're starting, you walk it out, the chain should be like if you've got, you know, 2 meters of chain, 1.9,
yeah.
You should have 10 centimeters of chain on the floor at the start.
Exactly.
That way, as you go down, the chain is stacking. You're at the bottom of your squat, most of the chain is already on the floor. And then as you come up, the chain's unstacking. But at the top, there still should be a couple of links of chain on the ground. That's the perfect amount. Okay, next one is the tempo work. So tempo work, we've talked about a lot and you guys know. But I think most people just think of tempo work as slowing the bar on the way down. There's so many different ways
so much more than that.
To do tempo, and probably the most neglected way people do tempo is that they don't do they do a lot of pause and they do a lot of slow eccentrics, but they don't do slow concentrics, and they don't do like 1.25 reps, and they don't do sort of reps where you go up halfway, pause, and then finish the lift off. So they can be really effective. So a couple of ways, like I just mentioned, so slower on the way down, pausing at the bottom of the lift, or in between the negative and the positive part of the movement, the eccentric and the concentric part of the movement, and then also really focusing on the way up, slowing it down, really slow concentric movement. We're so used to being explosive through these movements. There is also benefit, mainly muscular endurance and mainly hypertrophy benefits of going slower on the way up, but still useful if you haven't done it before.
Yeah, or even I find just with technique.
Yeah.
Like if you were coaching somebody technique, you're like, oh, my technique's not great. You'd be like, go slow.
Yeah.
So you can like get this around your head, you know, build the mind-muscle connection and like check what's going on. You wouldn't just rush the rep. So you almost always improve your technique when you do it slowly.
And there's a lot to be said for getting technique right. Like imagine if I'm coaching someone with tennis, right? And I'm coaching them a forehand nice and slow. I'm not going really slow in the backswing and then just accelerating with the forehand. They're like, okay, but I didn't see that next part. What's the next part? And it's like, just
it's always gotta be
nice
explosive.
And slow, pause. And then swing really fast. You'd be like, well, fuck, you know, I'm not learning anything here. So yeah, slow through the movement and you can just kind of drill that technique nice and smooth. So that's really the first thing, one of the more important things that, you get out of
It's not like you're going to get slow because you did a 3-week cycle.
Nah, don't be silly. But yeah, the other one is pausing on the way up as well.
Yeah.
So really messing around with the tempo in the concentric part of the lifts. So I think where people will get a lot of benefit. Mm. Yeah, come up halfway, pause, hold. Finish lift. It's pretty common in deadlifts I see sometimes. People that come up to the knee.
Yeah, very common.
Hold, finish, bring the hips through. Okay. Next thing, range of motion. Now, this is range of motion with accessory sort of, tools.
Yeah, it's a way of, just not doing the big three lifts over and over again, because you can just change the lift. So, on a squat, you can squat to a box.
Yep.
On a bench press, you can get a board or you can just get anything that basically just blocks between your chest and the weight. Could even be a floor press where basically your elbow joint becomes the thing stopping the bar from hitting the ground.
Yeah.
And then deadlifts, obviously it can be like a pin pull, put the weight on racks.
Rack pull,
and just pull it straight from there. Or just, honestly just put plates on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and you can also increase range of motion as well.
Yeah.
Like you can use different barbells. So, for example, in a deadlift, you can stand on plates. So you can or stand on a block, so that rather than picking the bar up from the middle of your shin, you're picking it up around your ankles. Mm. So you've got more of a range of motion. Obviously, these require more flexibility. With a squat, obviously you can squat deeper. That's always an option, or you can squat wider if you want to go deeper, but from maybe more internal rotation. And then, for a bench press, you can use different barbells that increase your range of motion. I don't know what the one is with the curve. Is the tsunami bar the one that curves around?
No, tsunami is the one that shakes on the edge.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty fun as well.
I don't know what that bent one is called.
The buffalo bar.
Yeah, but there's one barbell that you use and it increases your range of motion. So essentially, it just allows you to drop your hands lower down to your side. I mean, dumbbells kind of serve that purpose, but if you are sticking with a barbell, different accessory exercises there. And there's a football bar as well, which has different hand placements and stuff as well, which I guess would increase your range of motion, but just, you know, maybe by taking your hands wider.
Man, so many different bars out there now.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
I think it's the Duffalo bar.
Duffalo or yeah. Buffalo?
They sell it here as a Duffalo bar.
Okay.
It seems to work, but they also are Buffalo bars.
Is Duffalo just like the Duff Beer-sponsored Buffalo bar? You know Duff Beer from The Simpsons?
Yeah, they do. No, yeah. They've got it on
Duff Beer
Strength.
For
you ever
me.
Looking, if you, yeah, they
Duff
have
beer
it,
for you.
They call it the Duffalo bar. I think it's more for squatting, though. Man, if you ever want different bars, it's more in the States, but Kabuki Strength have every single bar on the planet.
Mm. Didn't we interview the guy from Kabuki Strength?
Yeah, we did. He
What's
talked
his name
about
again?
It.
Chris.
Yeah, he sent me his book.
He's got the dragon tattoo on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Connor, do you remember the name?
I feel like it's Chris someone.
Chris someone, and he's from Kabuki Strength.
That was a good interview. Where he lived in the mountains or something.
Yeah, he had a like
crazy,
completely fucked up upbringing. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting guy. Okay, so that's range of motion. So obviously, yeah, you can play around with that stuff. The next one, and this is one that we borrow from West Side, but also from sports a lot. And these are speed and dynamic days. So these are days where you're practicing similar movement patterns to a deadlift, a bench press, a squat, and you may be doing the movements themselves, but you're going at 20 to 30%. On the bar, so very, very light. And the purpose here is to move as quickly as possible.
Yeah, there's three real ways I think this is done. You can have just doing the same lifts, but do them fast.
Yeah.
Or like slight variations. You can just do like plyometrics or like jumps and stuff like that. We did that when I was training out Gudangos and tons in sport. And then you can do like Olympic weightlifting.
Yeah.
It's like power cleans and power snatches, stuff like that.
Even sprinting. Like,
yeah,
if you think
that's
about
good. That's like a good fourth one. It's kind of plyometrics, but... Yeah,
but like sprinting is just like such an underutilized tool the older you get. People just stop sprinting, right? The last time I was sprinting was on the basketball court. I was going down full speed and I was thinking to myself, shit, I haven't done this in ages. Like I feel like almost like out of control, you know, like I didn't know if I was going to stack or not. But yeah, it's great for building, you know, power and strength and lift. That's why, you know, you get guys that are super fast. They've never deadlifted before. They have enormous hamstrings and they deadlift double body weight. Just because they've been fast and explosive through the posterior chain, they haven't needed to do deadlifts to build that power and strength. But obviously, power and strength and speed on the field carries over to the weight room really well. They just have to learn technique a bit. That's all it is.
Yeah, and it's actually really easy to work it into your training. You know, when we would go out, we would just, between sets of squats, you do some jumps.
Yeah.
You know, really explosive, very low rep jumps. Like pretty much, let's say, like never more than three.
Yeah.
Right? It's usually one or two. And just try and make the landing super safe. Don't do some insane box jump at the gym that you end up stacking yourself, because it's not about the landing.
Yeah.
It's just about the jump.
Yeah.
You just land in a pool. Great.
Yeah.
You know?
And 20-30% is like a push-up as well for a bench press. So you can do some plyometric push-ups, like some explosive push-ups, and that will suffice as well.
And one of the reasons it's so effective is because when you just move, it teaches you to move quickly. So if you like press, if you can press your bench press up faster, you get through the parts of the press that are your sticking points.
Yeah.
So if you always get stuck, you know, halfway on the bench, if you're just moving through that point with more momentum on the bar, it's much easier to get through it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's why people bounce out of the squat, right?
Mm.
It's because if they were to pause down, then they get less out of
it. You're
done. Yeah. So yeah, learning all that stuff going a little bit lighter and doing speed work as well can be a different way to kind of access techniques that you didn't know were kind of there.
Yeah. A really fun way we still would just be like around 30-35% of the weight on the bar, say on a deadlift, 2 reps every minute for 10 minutes warming up. It's a mad warm up. You feel like a beast by the end.
Yeah.
You're just ripping the bar off the ground. And it drills technique as well, drills reps. But yeah, you're moving fast.
Because you have to get tight when you're going to go fast. When you get tight, you tense up. And so you learn how to get a good amount of like full body global tightness to explode. Because you don't want to be loose and explode, right? Because then you'll get injured. So it's a great way to kind of build that in. Okay, last thing here, and one of the most important things, I think, is accessory work. You know, just doing high rep, high volume accessory work, bicep curls, tricep extensions for the bench, hamstring curls, knee extensions, hip thrusts, single leg work for your squats and deadlifts. All these things, although they don't feel as effective as doing the lift itself, help to balance out the areas where you're weak.
Yeah, exactly. I think they get a bad rap because, yeah, it's true, right? If you're like pretty good at the lifts and then you stop doing the lifts entirely and you like just do this stuff, like accessory exercises, like, yeah, your lifts don't tend to go up unless you're like fixing a specific weakness. But, you know, in the context of a long-term progression for a lifter, it's huge.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it also probably depends on the person.
Yeah.
If you like lack muscle mass and you have weaknesses, it's really going to help. If you've been doing tons of this forever and you're jacked, probably not going to help as much.
Yeah. But I will say that a lot of lifters make up a lot of their training because the weights, as you get stronger, the weights you start to use in your compound lifts get so heavy, you can't train as much with those weights because they beat you up so much. So what you do, or large part of what your training can become, is this high rep accessory work just to keep your body healthy and strong and prepared for the times when you do really heavy working sets. Because, you know, doing working sets at 140 kilos is great, but, you know, when you're at elite level and you're squatting, you know, 250 kilos, you're doing working sets at 180, 200 kilos. It beats you up more. So you do need more accessories to kind of support it.
Yeah, if you didn't need
this
shit, you just go to a weightlifting or a powerlifting competition every day.
Yeah.
And you'd get strong.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a reason no one does that.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely need it. And I mean, bodybuilders have known this for a while, right? Which is why some of the best bodybuilders do both. They do the powerlifting, but they back it up with a lot of the single joint isolation exercises.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at a lot of the powerlifters these days that, you know, look like bodybuilders, they didn't get that from just doing their main lifts.
No, absolutely not. So, obviously, there's a lot of things that we just covered off there. All of them have a place and all of them are important. And we incorporate a lot of this stuff in Project Strong, which is our 8-week strength program that you guys can access. You can get it at themymuscleproject.com/strong. So, if getting better at the main four lifts is important to you and something you want to work on, at least for the next 8 weeks, you can get that program. So again, themymuscleproject.com/strong. I'm going over it again. The main things that you can do: bands and chains, general physical preparedness, aka GPP, tempo work, range of motion, so reducing or increasing the range of motion, speed days and dynamic work, and then finally rep work and accessory work to add into it. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Make sure you go check out our sponsors that support us as well. Links are in the description of this episode, and we'll speak to you all very soon. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.